Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday service. It's Pastor David here. And to begin our service today, I've chosen my all-time favourite hymn. A hymn that is a prayer asking that the Lord would help us to know his way and to follow it. Father God, we come to you to bring you our praise and our thanks for your faithfulness, for your love and mercy shown to each one of us. And we ask you now that as we've just sung together, that we might experience your Spirit helping us to walk the walk of faith, that you will lead us with heavenly light, and that day by day we might know your presence with us, teaching us the way to follow you. And for these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we come to the final chapter in the book of Ruth, chapter 4. You might like to have that open. I'm not going to read the chapter, but we will be reading verses as we work through it. Ruth chapter 4, as we think about God's great salvation plan. And as we've just sung about needing the Lord to help us to walk with him, we know that life is not straightforward. We can never be sure what's coming around the corner. This pandemic, which has brought the world to its knees, was completely unforeseen. And here in the book of Ruth, life is just full of many downs and ups as well. The famine comes along, there are setbacks, but there are also surprises. And just when you think you've got it all worked out at the end of chapter 3, that Boaz is going to rescue Ruth, up comes the realization that there's someone else and that he has first claim over Boaz and first claim to Ruth. So now chapter 4 brings a courtroom drama. Verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Now we know, of course, that this term, gone up to the gate, is a Jewish term for where legally binding decisions were made, where the village or the town would gather for a court appearance, where things would be witnessed, things that were decided would be witnessed. And the first thing that we see here is that Boaz is taking the initiative. He's come to this place to rescue Ruth and to take her as his bride, and he's going to do everything that he can possibly do, everything necessary to pay the price, to purchase the land that would give him the right to make Ruth his bride. Verse 3, then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of all these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so that I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Now there's a cost to this, and on discovering the full price, this close relative drops out. Verse 5, then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." But Boaz doesn't waver. He takes on the cost. He takes on the full responsibility for Ruth and Naomi. And then, of course, onwards for Ruth's children, because he would be required by the Jewish law to have offspring with Ruth. The first man looked after his own interest, and so he refuses. Boaz sacrifices self and does whatever it takes for the good and the best of others. This is a costly act of kindness and redemption. And another thing that we note from these verses is that this redemption is witnessed publicly. It mentions it three times in the passage, in verse 9, verse 10, and then if I read to you verse 11, "Then the elders and all those at the gate said, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel.'" Three times it's mentioned to make absolutely sure that this is final and there is no going back. It is finished. Family name is rescued and restored. Verse 10. "I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among the family. And so the family name is rescued and restored, and we Christians are reminded that it was Jesus himself who took the initiative to rescue and redeem us. We weren't looking for him. He came seeking out the lost to save them. Romans 5 says that it was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. We were lost. It was Jesus who took the initiative and paid the full price at great cost to himself to rescue us. So Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom to redeem many." Jesus didn't hand over money to rescue us, but he gave himself, he gave his very life. He was himself the price that was paid, the price that was necessary to cover the guilt of our sin. And Jesus' act of rescue and redemption at the cross is publicly witnessed by all those who were there watching, publicly witnessed, and it is final. Jesus gave all he had for you. He wanted you to belong to him so badly that he pursued you with a zeal and paid everything to make you his own. And there's no turning back. And I want us to see this morning that there'll never be a point when, because of my or your sin and failing, never be a point when we fall and find that we hear Jesus saying that he's had enough of us. After all he has done, after all he has paid, he's never, never going to drop you now. Never going to give up on you. He is yours forever. And so on the cross, Jesus shouted out in front of all those witnesses, "It is finished." And in our lives that are never straightforward, the fresh realization of this truth is so comforting. But then I want us to see that this truth of costly redemption and commitment is not a kind of theological sermony thing that preachers go on about, but it brings the believing Christian from emptiness to fullness. Ruth's road of life, as we've seen, was anything but smooth. She marries a foreigner. She's childless for decades. You can imagine the pain and hurt and tears at night. And then husband Mahlon dies. Grief that breaks her heart. She follows Naomi, but all that she finds as she follows Naomi is that she is led into poverty and destitution. And she has to take to begging for food. Ruth has experienced many, many downs. It's been tough for Ruth. But God has a way of turning downs into ups. Just look at this as I read you that verse 11 again. The elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel." God has a way of turning downs into ups, and here now Ruth is lifted up to the level of Rachel and Leah. And you remember that it was Rachel and Leah who gave birth to the 12 tribes of Israel. So now Ruth is something like a destitute beggar being brought into the intimate, close family of royalty. And the point for us is that even pagan outsiders who cast themselves on the kindness, on the mercy, on the grace of God are brought right into God's own family, alongside the very fathers and mothers of the faith. It's just the same for Naomi. She goes out full, she's got a husband and sons, but the Lord brings her back empty. But again, those who trust in God, those who rest in Him, find that He works all things for our good. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. What blessing! See, the Lord enabled Ruth. Obviously, she couldn't have children. She never had a child all the time she'd been married, but the Lord enabled. The Lord has this way of lifting downs into ups. So, have you got any rivers you think are impossible? Well, God specializes in things that seem impossible. He can do just what no other can do. God's faithfulness in both famine and feast. It's not all good. We're not prosperity teachers. We know that there are famine. We know that there are hard times. Ruth's had such a tough time. But we also know God's faithfulness. God is good in both famine, and He is good in times of feast. And so as we close, we look now down the line of Ruth's child. Verse 21. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed, and Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. The father of David. So here it is. This is not just a story of how God blesses two widows. It's the story of God's salvation plan, bringing about God's King David. Can you see it? God working through hard times of famine. God working through struggle. God working through loss and grief and tears and pain. And working through the lowest of His children to bring about His great kingdom purposes. And now those purposes, through David's greater son, Jesus Christ. And so I read Matthew 1. The New Testament begins as Ruth ends. It begins with a genealogy. Matthew has the genealogy of Jesus. And I look at Matthew 1, verse 2. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah. Judah the father of Perez. Perez the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. And then through that incredible line, where Ruth is there in the lineage of Jesus, I look down to verse 16. As the lineage of David goes on, and verse 16 says, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is the Christ. Mary, another unheard of lowly servant of God, giving miraculous birth to a child where? Again in Bethlehem. God's salvation plan that rescued you and me. And as we walk the twisting, uneven path of life, the Christian knows where that path is taking us, to that day where there will be no more bumps in the road, no more death, no more separation, no more pain, no more crying. And so the words of the hymn with which we started this series, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take, the clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessing on your head. And our hearts are filled with praise and thanks to such a God. And we close with another good old hymn. And I want to just read to you a couple of the verses. It's the hymn, I'll Praise My Maker. And so verse 3 says, the Lord gives eyesight to the blind. The Lord supports the fainting mind. He sends the labouring conscience peace. He helps the stranger in distress, the widow and the fatherless, and grants the prisoner sweet release. Happy the man whose hopes rely on Israel's God. He made the sky and earth and sea with all their trade. His truth forever stands secure. He saves the oppressed. He feeds the poor. And none shall find his promise vain.